It is Easter. Finally. Through 6 weeks of Lent, we have studied and prayed, praised and worshiped, gathered and celebrated in anticipation of this day. We gathered weekly to study the book of Philippians in our Lenten small group. We started a new outreach working with Harvesters and Merriam Park Elementary School on a new fresh produce food pantry, a mobile pantry that comes to the school on the last Saturday of the month, which is next Saturday, by the way. If you'd like to help with that, you should speak to Carol Prentice. Carol, raise your hand. That's Carol. Carol can tell you how you can help with that ministry. We gathered last Saturday with 50 children and their families from our community to hunt eggs, to hear the Easter story, and to have fun. This week, we remembered the final supper Jesus had with his disciples before his crucifixion, and then we waited. In silent darkness, we waited for today. For the sun to rise, for the tomb to be found empty, for us to proclaim he is risen. He is risen indeed. I remember my first church that I served at Easter. We were blessed there. We had a music director, and he was from the conservatory at UMKC. So for Easter, we would find some money to hire extra singers from the music program there to bolster our small choir. We would find brass players to augment our morning worship, and it was wonderful. Loud, raucous Easter morning hymns with professional singers and blaring trumpets and trombones. Crown him with many crowns. Bum, 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 bum. When the service had ended, I was exhausted. It was a lot of work to get ready for all that, to plan it all out, to put all the pieces in place, to set it in motion. I was exhausted. I could think of nothing more than, thank God Easter is done. Time for a nap. As we were cleaning up after worship and closing things down, my music director's wife was sitting on the front pew, a big smile on her face. I asked her, I said, what's up? She said, that was amazing. What a great worship. What's next? What's next? What's next? Are you kidding me? I'm exhausted. We just got done with all this amazing stuff. What about my nap? But honestly, it was a good question. We focus on this monumental moment in our faith. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, betrayed, beaten, bloodied, and buried, has risen from the grave, has defeated death forever, has driven out the darkness with light. And sometimes I feel like we view this as an end, as a finish line, as things being over and done with. Jesus came, he died, he rose again. Check, check, check. There we go, we're done. But this moment, this morning, this explosion of grace and love and hope and joy into the world with the discovery of the empty tomb, with the realization of the rising sun is not an end. This is the beginning. This is the birth of new life. This is the start of the church as we know it. This is the coming of the good news. This is the good news. Jesus Christ has defeated the tomb and risen to new life. I stopped by Starbucks this morning on my way in. I had to be here early today. Our sunrise service started at 7:30. Normally our early morning worship is 8:30, so I try to get here 30, 45 minutes early to turn the lights on, unlock the doors, make sure stuff's ready to go. Thought I might need a little extra caffeine this morning because I was going to be getting here about 6:45. So I swung through Starbucks for my venti vanilla latte with coconut milk and half pumps. I pulled up to the window to pay, and the young lady, I'm going to guess she was maybe 17 or 18, working the window, was far too energetic and awake for 6:30 a.m. She was all smiles and how do you do's. She opened up the window. She saw my suit, my orange shirt, my paisley tie. She said, "Ooh, aren't you dressed up?" Yep. Going to church this morning? Yep. She paused for a second, turned to make sure they were making my drink, getting it ready, turned back. She said, "So any big plans today after Easter's done?" Yep. Give me my coffee. Right? That's what I'm thinking. It's 6:30 in the morning. Give me my coffee. Quit being so awake and alert and happy. But it's a good question. Jesus has risen. We gather in praise and worship. We gather in prayer and celebration. And we're done before noon. Time to go eat that baked ham, hide those little plastic eggs with candy in them, and take a nap. But what if we're called to more than a nap today? What if there is something more? What if there is something next? We have been a people who were in darkness, and the sun has risen on us today. Surely we are called to take that new light to the world, to go out as God's people, as God's children, as God's church, and live the good news for this world to see, to experience. So how do we do that? How do we take the good news out? How do we share what we've experienced, not just this morning, but every morning when the sun rises on us, when God's light drives out the darkness? How do we proclaim freedom to the captive, sight to the blind, new life to the dead? Because sometimes we might do it wrong. And that scares us. Sometimes we might get it wrong, and that scares us. So we clam up. We shut up. We keep this to ourselves. "Lord, I'm not so good at the talking part. How do I spread your word? What if someone asks me about Scripture and I don't know? What if someone asks me about Jesus and I don't know? What if someone asked me a hard question full of nuance and gray? What if I don't know? What if I don't know, Lord?" We panic and worry. "I'm just going to mess it up. Better to keep my mouth shut and be thought a fool than open it and prove them right." Or maybe the opposite's true. Maybe talking isn't our problem, but our self-righteousness is. Sometimes we get a little full of ourselves, as if we're the ones that rose from the grave and have all the answers, as if we're the ones that have it all figured out. Well, the answer's Jesus. The answer's always Jesus. There's a joke that goes around among ministers that you got to be careful what questions you ask during a children's moment, because the kids know that the answer's always Jesus. And we have taken that idea into our adult lives. And we go, "Jesus!" Doesn't matter what the question is. But in real life, sometimes that can fall really short. When faced with real world pain and heartache, loss and desolation, just Jesus might not be the salve that we think it is. We want to be right, But this zeal can sometimes mask our true insecurities. We attempt to sound sure about things that are most definitely unsure, and it doesn't draw people to Jesus. It pushes them away. We end up driving people deeper into their darkness in our rush to be righter than thou. Sometimes we're just too distracted. The Easter celebration is great, but what are we going to do about attendance? What are we going to do about the budget? What are we going to do about that committee that needs someone to head it up because it's always had someone to head it up? Yeah, Jesus rose from the grave. He does every year. But we have more important things to worry about. We really don't. This is what we're supposed to worry about. How do we take Easter to the world? Jesus has risen. How do we get that news out? Jesus has set us free. How do we get that word out? This is our priority. But sometimes it gets lost in the messiness of this world. Other things take our attention and silence our voices, and we miss the opportunities before us. So what is the answer? What are we supposed to do? How do we avoid screwing up worse and do what we are called to do? How will we know the right words to say, the right actions to take, the right path to follow? Lord, this is a great day, but honestly, now what? What if we took a breath? Calmed down. Remembered that we are not alone. And just loved one another. What a radical concept. Not a new program, not a new ministry, but an old one. The first one, actually. What if we just loved one another? What if we laid down our self-obsessed need to be right and we just tried to do right, just love one another? What if we stopped trying to shout the good news at people worn down by this world, too tired to even lift their heads, and instead we just loved one another? What if we stopped tying our faith to our politics and stopped hijacking Jesus for our political agenda, and instead we just loved one another? What if we hit pause on our self-righteous indignation and holier-than-thou attitudes and instead just loved one another? What might that do? Because believe me when I say the world has some people who are hurting, who are broken, who are lost, who are seeking, who are wandering in that darkness. So what if we just loved one another? Because we're hurt too. But we found some healing. We're broken too. But we found something to complete us. We're lost sometimes and seeking something, and in our darkness, we happened to see the light. We are not the perfect gathering of perfect saints, better than you because we know all the answers and have it all together and got it all right. No, we're a bumbling mass of sinners, lost and confused and hurting and lonely, who were in that same darkness when the dawn broke upon us. It was nothing we had done. We were just standing there when the sky began to warm, when the colors began to change, when the sun began to rise and grace and love and forgiveness and redemption came upon us. We didn't have all the answers, but we found the answer that worked for us. We didn't have it all right, but we found the one who is all right, and we didn't figure it out so much as we stumbled backwards into what we needed. So what if we simply went out and just loved one another? We didn't worry about whether our actions would result in more members or more money. We didn't worry about whether we were going to say the right words or did the right thing. We didn't worry about sticking our foot so far in our mouth we could taste our shoelaces. No, what if all we did today, after Easter's done, after the ham's been eaten, the eggs have been found, the candy's been devoured, mostly by mom and dad. What if we just loved one another? Wouldn't that be some pretty good news for someone? For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. Go forth, rejoice, be church, and just love one another. Amen.